A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio. I am Paul Machin. I'm joined this week by Mr. Stephen Hall, who was more than a capable deputy in my absence last week, so I'm told.
Apparently so, yeah. I'm very much filling the first sub role at the minute. Chris has been rotated out, I'm there to fill his boots, yeah.
Chris is currently having a little bit of downtime. I am gutted, so we've been preamble for about 3 weeks about how last week was our 50th podcast.
You missed it.
Big milestone, totally missed it. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, we've got a kickoff question this week that comes from Steve Carson, SJ R. Carson on Twitter, good friend of ours, says, "You're trapped on an island and have an iPod that won't run out of power. It only has one song. What do you hope it is?"
Do you want to go first on me?
I will give you my thinking.
Okay.
And then we'll see what your thinking was, and then we'll give our answers.
We're not going to match.
Okay. My thinking was, I think there's two, I had two schools of thought, and I had two options for this. Short, sharp, snappy, 2 minutes long, because you're trapped on an island and you might need a lift every now and again. So you go for something that you can just put on periodically, and it's going to give you that boost and going to get you out of your seat. So something, and this is as basic an answer as you're going to get for this, is like a Song 2 by Blair or a Chumbawamba Thumping a Toad. Why I said that out loud. The alternative is to go for a long epic that has multiple different styles to it, to try and get the most bang for your buck, so to speak. They're thinking. I've gone for the latter rather than the former, though.
I've gone for something that makes you, although it's a bit rubbish, makes me happier, makes me bob along, because I'm on a desert island, I'm a bit lonely, I'm a bit bored.
Is it junior, senior, move your feet?
It's not. It's okay. Not. Cool. It's Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, what a song.
So you, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Stay Hoare.
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
Years old.
Yeah.
You're trapped on an island and yeah. You are actively hoping, because that is how it's phrased,
yeah.
To have Carly Rae Jepsen's
call. Yeah, you can't help but tap your feet. Tell a story. Once, right, I was driving home, been working in Leeds, and I was driving home when that song came on the radio. It was something made up. I was stuck at some traffic lights in it. I was singing along. Give it the beans, as you do. If you're going to go, you might as well go. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. You
don't do things by halves. Looked to me right, and there was two girls just literally laughing their heads off at me, and one was about to get her phone to start filming me. And I just caught it just before she must have... I mean, maybe she did record me, and it might...
That was the end of it. It may exist.
No, I kind of just waved and carried on.
No, what I mean is, like...
As she saw...
She was pulling the phone down because she was about to get it, but there's a good chance...
She might have
it. She was finished filming you and was withdrawing the phone.
Yeah, so that footage could exist.
Isn't the world... Shit. This is one of the reasons why I think the world's fucked, is because of that. It's because you're meant to, you have to second guess your own happiness.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing wrong. I you're right, though. That I have it in the back of my mind sometimes when you're belting out a tune as you're driving along, that what if I get stuck at the lights and someone sees me and I look like an absolute nobody and they film it? We had it the other day driving the match. It was, we were stuck in Chris's car. He basically drove the pseudo roundabout at Tubrook. And we got stuck in the road, basically. Pulled that one he shouldn't have done. Not a problem he normally has. And it's basically, we're blocking the traffic and just some kid starts taking photos of us while we're stuck in traffic. And, like, you know, I don't know why, that's weird, but, you know, a similar situation could have arisen there if you were singing
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Absolutely. I've gone for God Gave Rock and Roll to You by Kiss.
Yeah, well, I mean, similar to mine.
For the reasons spelled out earlier, for a start, I think it's like, here's the thing, it's not like that bit in The Walking Dead where they play the song over and over and over again, Easy Street or whatever, with the intention of breaking you. You know, you can choose when and when not to play this song. So I figure it's got that uplifting bit to it, but it's got a bit of, you know, it's just got a few different moods going on.
Yeah, see, my thing was, I want to be happy mood, because I think I'll get all my other moods will be sorted. I'll be lonely anyway, I'll be miserable anyway, probably hungry anyway. I just need something to give me a bit of a pick-me-up, so why not? Something that gets me bopping a little bit.
Okay, cool. Let us know yours then. Are you trapped on a
Kiss or Carly Rae?
Or Carly Rae Jepsen. In fact, yeah, just let us know. Tweet in at right now, if you listen to this, at the Redmen TV. Make sure you tag at the Paul Machen and at Steve Horan. I want to know your thoughts on this. In fact, you know what? I'm going to put a poll out on my. I'll put a poll out on my Twitter, and we'll see what the feedback.
I can't help but feel you've got home field advantage there.
Yeah.
On your Twitter.
Well, I'll tell you what. Put it out on yours.
Nah.
No. Put it out on yours. I'll put it out on mine, and we'll correlate the results.
An aggregate away goals rules.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens there. So follow both of us on Twitter. That's all we're saying, really. Run down of this week's topics there. We're going to be going through news in brief in a moment. We're going to be talking about Joe Gomez. We know at the minute it looks like he's going to be out for a month. A little bit of a plug for a wondrous podcast that Chris did last week, not just the one with Steve, of course. Roy Hodgson on the horizon, and how much we hate the owl faced, face rubbing weirdo.
Yep.
And then your questions, including an absolute belter, where we have to construct an expendable style Liverpool five-a-side team. So stay tuned for all of that. But news in brief then, first and foremost, Emre Can has hit back at false stories about his future this week. It came out on Monday night, I think, on his Instagram story. He said, "I've just returned from international duty with the German team and working on coming back from injury. Interesting stories about me in the press. I'm no longer going to comment on any false stories or rumours. Looking forward to getting back on the pitch ASAP." Thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think the story's in question whether he was demanding 200 grand a week off Liverpool to stay on a contract and stuff. To be fair, you know what, I've got a general rule of thumb is that if something comes out on a Sunday paper, it's genuinely a bit shit.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that first of all. Listen, if he is demanding 200 grand a week, if he was, then we all thought that's a bit much anyway. I don't think that's the case. I think he's saw it and thought, I'm going to nip this in the bud, because usually players will just ignore speculation, but one that makes him look like a bit of a bell end, and it does make him look, greedy or whatever. We don't know what his demands are or what he's asking for, but as soon as you start naming figures around players, they tend to take that a bit personally, whether it's him or someone's advice.
Sterling, didn't we, a few years ago when it was all the money situation, and he ended up getting called, and Emre Can's probably not soft. He's probably seen that.
Yeah.
And at the minute, it stands to reason that he's probably just not looking to burn his bridges with Liverpool as much as anything else.
Yeah, he's got games to play. He's here at the end of the season. He's playing well. He's going to be in the side more often than not. So why bring any negative, ill feeling towards yourself? It makes sense for him to just squash that. Listen, the likelihood is he's gone or he's going.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't going, he'd be signed by now.
Yeah. So I agree with that.
So there's a very good chance he's gone now. In fairness, all the clubs he's linked with are saying that they haven't got a deal. And if they did have one, they'd be I think we'd know right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything's concrete, but I just think he's keeping his options open. And if he was going to stay, I think we'd know by now. So I'm expecting him to go. And I think he's just trying to keep people off his back as much as he can.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess. I just briefly, because we'll do a little bit, we'll do more on these news stories on the Reds News Roundup this week, of course, but where do you stand with him at the moment? Whether just presuming that he's right in saying that those rumours are false, because everyone jumped on that big time this week. Does that change? Does it being true or not? Does it have any major impact on your thinking?
Not really, because if I was him, I'd be asking for 200 grand a week as well. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, but why not ask him? Get whatever you can. When you're a free agent or about to be a free agent, you hold all the cards.
Yeah.
It's very rare footballers hold all the cards unless they've got, a release clause or something. He's now going onto the open market where someone's going to get a guy who theoretically could be worth anywhere between 30 and 50 million quid, depending, but just because of his age, German international, look at transfer fees.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain's 40 million, he's probably better than him.
Yeah.
Or at least similar level. So a team's going to get him at that level of player for nothing, effectively.
Yeah.
So he can get himself a massive signing on fee and massive wages wherever he goes. So he's well, he can ask for whatever he wants. He holds all the cards, and if there's five or six teams chasing him, one of them might give him 200 grand a week.
Yeah.
Or might say, listen, Emre, here's 150, but here's a 10 million quid sign-on fee as well. That'll more than, that kind of thing. So he holds all the aces. He's sorted.
Yeah,
he's going to be a really rich man come next summer in terms of wages. So, yeah. Listen, take all you can get. What I would say is that I'd praise him for it. It hasn't affected his performance.
Yeah.
Okay. He hasn't played badly, has he?
Okay, yeah, no, that sounds fine by me. Abdoulaye Doucouré said it would be his dream to play for Liverpool. He said, Liverpool's a club that needs no introduction. I was desperate to play at Anfield. I wanted to feel the atmosphere.
That went well.
That went well. For me, it would be a dream to play for a club like this. Now, I'm not sure this is quite the come and get me play that it's been spun in several ways. It's basically just him saying, I had a great time at Anfield. I loved Anfield. Yeah, I'd love to play. I'd love to play for a club like that. You were banging the drum for this lad a few weeks back on the Reds News Roundup show. What do you think? Chances?
I think he's a good player. I think he brings something that we haven't got in terms of he's a little bit more box to box. What I would say is that he's a very, very poor man's navigator. The navigator's going to come in, so you're buying him as a secondary option. It's funny because he had similar quotes a week earlier about Arsenal saying that, Arsenal. So he's very much putting himself in the shop window, and rightly so. You know, anyone who has a good season in the Premier League automatically, wants to go to one of those top six sides. Yeah. So he's touting himself out a bit, and fair play. I think he's a good player, but I think he's a squad player. So it depends what Liverpool's aspirations of doing the midfield are.
He is... Look, he's one of them. Look, if Jürgen signs him, then Bonza. But he's one of them. He feels like the kind of signing we'd have made at any point in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we're going into this transfer window. I think we have the money this window, definitely. I've said this many years before, of course, to buy whatever the fuck we want to buy.
Yeah.
Which can mean what can be taken two ways. It means that if we buy him, it means we wanted to buy him.
Yep.
But also it means that if there's a target out there that in years gone by we wouldn't have been able to afford to buy, I think we will be buying someone along those lines.
Absolutely. He's coming in as a squad player. That if he comes in, I don't think he's going to ever be a first team regular, especially because Naby Keita is going to be there as well. So I like him. I think he's a good player and I wouldn't mind us buying him, but I don't know how much legs in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Virgil van Dijk scored a Sammy Hippier-esque goal for Holland. Good to see. I've missed centre-half scoring volleys inside the box.
It was a very good goal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Technically, he's amazing.
Mm.
How he doesn't score more goals is unbelievable. Like I always think back to the Swansea game when we got beat, and at the end he's playing up front, he chests the ball down, puts an amazing cross to the back post, and obviously Firmino makes a mess of it. But that just shows how technically gifted he is. He's some player. He could probably be a decent striker at some level. Put him in the Championship up front, and when he scores 15 goals,
yeah, absolutely,
he's technically excellent.
Funnily enough, I was talking to it was with Ped and Stiehausen on Social Club this week, and I was saying he is so good. I was saying, put all your club biases aside and whatever and all that kind of stuff. He is so noticeably better than everyone else we've had. Not just that we've got, but we have had in that position since, Pomp, Sammy Hippier.
Yep.
And I count Jamie Carragher in that because completely different players, completely different style of players, miles better than Jamie Carragher.
He might be the most technically sound player in the squad. He's at least in the conversation in terms of...
That's interesting.
Because everyone else has got other attributes to their game, but in terms of on the ball, his passing, his range of passing, just his technique, I think he's up there with anything we've got. I love him. He's great. Can I go with him?
Absolutely magnificent. Liverpool Legends drew 5-5 with Bayern Legends at the weekend. Did you see any of this?
I didn't watch it live, I was away, I was in Wales, but I just caught up with the clips on social media, and obviously I watched some of your videos and stuff like that.
We had a very good laugh.
It looked like you had a good time.
With that. Yeah, it was good. It was good fun, and what was really, really good, so we got a message in the comments on one of the videos today. There's the inside Anfield video that's been put out on the Liverpool YouTube channel, and it's got Chris getting swerved for a photo by Steven Gerrard.
Oh, Chris. Check it out. Oh, bless him.
Oh, Chris. He had a bad time in that post match mix zone.
Couldn't get many people going down there.
We got to speak to a few people, but I hinted at it in the post match videos. He had a conversation with Lothar Matthäus. All I'll say once again is that if you don't subscribe to the RedmenTV.com, you miss out on some amazing stuff. If you just if you like the in depth stuff, you like the analysis, the long form chat based content. We've got all that. But every year we do an outtakes video.
I feature heavily.
Heavily. Chris is going to feature heavily this year because he said something to Lothar Matthäus. This is like German legend, world player, former world player of the year. one of the greatest players ever to play the game. And he tried to stitch him up and got completely shut down. All I say is that we've got that clip in the archives ready to go. You know, you, maybe you don't need to subscribe to the show, but there's so much content between now and then. I would just stay tuned to the website and eventually you'll see it tops the Stephen Gerrard. So when we found out about that, I did feel a bit sorry for Chris. He had a bad time of things. Moving into our first topic then, and at the back of the news stories, Joe Gomez withdrawn from England squad after like 7 minutes or something he lasted in the England game. Good on you, England. It looks like he's going to be out for a month. Ben Webb, our good mate, Ben Webb LFC on Twitter, says, who plays at right back on Saturday? Klein to get some minutes ahead of City, or Trent to save Klein for City, or vice versa? This is that moment. I'm glad, touch wood, that it's not in another position on the field, this type of situation. We've been praising the depth that we've had at fullback all season long. This is quite fortuitously timed. If this had happened 6 weeks ago, it's no choice, I don't think, but for Trent to play, you know, play a load of games. Where do you stand on this? Because this is a real serious conversation that needs to be had at Melwood this week, because I feel uncomfortable with the idea of Trent Alexander-Arnold playing the next four games back-to-back for Liverpool. And moreover, really, the Champions League games with Man City.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. And listen, United targeted Trent and got some success out of it, and Pep will have seen that.
Yeah.
You know, and Leroy Sané isn't bad, is he? So they've got players there. It's a really, really difficult one, actually. I think Trent would have been nailed on for Palace and Gomez would have been nailed on for City.
Yeah.
I think that's what would have happened. Obviously, it's not there no more, so that's what it is. Obviously, England duty and all that bollocks, I hate it, but friendly has just ruined my life. Listen, Klein's going to have to play somewhere now, isn't he?
Yep.
The talk was, you know, we didn't really want to use him, but if we have to, we can. Well, you know, you've got Palace, City, Everton, City. Klein's going to have to play somewhere. And I don't know, to be honest, how you work it. I think Trent should start at the weekend and maybe have Kleine on the bench, and maybe if things are going well, get him on.
Yeah.
I think Trent will now play against City at home.
Okay.
I think he might play the derby and then you might see Klein away. It's just... There's no right or wrong answer,
yeah.
Because ideally, if you'd give me the choice, I'd work backwards. I'd have said, right, Gomez starts at the Etihad,
yeah,
and then we work backwards from there. Well, now that option's gone. It's very, very difficult for us to negotiate.
It's interesting because in the league game so far this season, Trent started away,
yeah,
and Gomez started at home,
yeah,
which is weirdly counterintuitive to how we would have things lined up. But of course, the season's progressed, and maybe that's Gomez coming in at home as a reaction to what happened at the Etihad, of course. But yeah, I mean, my logic dictates to me that fully fit, I think there's no question whatsoever that Nathaniel Klein, you just get him ready for the Champions League games and you play him in those two games. Based on what Jurgen Klopp said in his press conference, like almost like 2 weeks on the bounce, he mentioned him, he's back in training, he's fit, he's probably match fit. But he's not Jurgen Klopp match fit. And given what they've seen with Lallana since he's come back as well, they won't want to put him into games if they don't have to. But he did also say, if we have a big problem, we can.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? And listen, Palace, City, especially, have got, you know, so it's probably Zaha, if he's fit, he's got a knock. If he's out, then that could be an option. Obviously, Liverpool won't know that, but that could be an option where you might just fancy Klein anyway.
Yeah.
Say this, because the last thing you want on your first game back is a massive, a big fast lad running at you. You know, and that's what he's going to get. You're going to get that with Leroy Sané for sure. You might get that at Palace. Everton haven't really got that in the, you know, it's a bit Bolasie, it's a bit Theo Walcott. So they're not bad players, but I don't know. I've got a feeling that we're going to see Trent, Klein, Trent. And I'm not 100% sure I like that.
Yeah.
So I think we'll go Trent v Palace, Trent v City, Klein at Everton, wow. Trent v City, and I think that's what he'll do now, and I'm not comfortable at all with it.
Here's the thing for me. I think now that you know, I think you probably step Klein's rehabilitation, whatever it is, you step him up, because I think, I don't know, maybe it's more Trent Palace, Trent at Anfield, Trent in the derby.
Get Klein away.
Get Klein ready. Because you know you've got, right, we've got 2 weeks to get Nathaniel Klein back and fully fit or whatever it is, a week and a half. Two weeks to get him ready for that game, because you're going to, I think you can get away with Trent at Anfield, but I'm not sure. I think you want someone with a bit more defensive nous. And here's the thing, what you know about footballers, fingers crossed anyway, is that you can get them through a game. Like that might be all you see of Klein for the rest of the season. But that we might only need him for that one game. Yep. And of course, a lot of this will be dependent upon how we get on in that first leg. Look, if we're 2 or 3 up, which is highly unlikely.
Play centre half there.
You know what I mean? Maybe you play Wijnaldum there, or maybe Jimmy Milner. Milner or whatever there if you have to. Or maybe, God, you do something mad like you play a...
Back five.
Or a Moreno, or, you know what I mean, or Robertson or whatever. It's not like we're totally devoid of options there. But it seems like it's a good opportunity to get Klein. I think he would want to get Klein involved.
He should do.
He's still our best right back.
Absolutely, he's our best right back. If he's fit, he should play. But I think dropping in cold into a City game is going to be really, really tough for him. It's a really difficult one, and I don't know what he's going to do. He might just go Trent, and just bank on him.
Well, it would.
He backs his young players,
exactly,
doesn't he?
Exactly. It wouldn't be out of character to see the Trent thing, because it's funny. I've heard people. We did a bit on the news show today, and some people were talking in the comments about it and what have you. And Trent had a bad game against Man United.
He did, yeah.
Without doubt. But Jurgen Klopp, there's a couple of things that we know about Jurgen Klopp, or we think we know about Jurgen Klopp anyway. We know, or rather, sorry, let me phrase this right. These are not absolute certainties, but there's evidence to suggest that he's not asked if you're tired. Because he actually thinks that's a good thing. There's something too. He's the kind of manager who takes your fatigue. Some managers go, oh, you're dead tired, go and have a holiday for a bit. He's like, you're tired, you're meant to be tired. This is the enjoyment of football. This is the magic of what we do here. Everyone's tired. Everyone gets together and fight through your fatigue. And everyone goes, rah! And the other one is when players perform and are not necessarily performing. You think, your logic goes, this is not the game for them. He almost uses that as well and goes to them. Everyone thinks this isn't the game for you. I think it is. This is the time for you to go and prove yourself.
We've rotated all season for these type of games, and there'll be a few players for us, and there'll be a few players for City who play all four. Yeah. They just will. So, for example, I wouldn't be shocked if Firmino plays all four. You know, there's talk he might get dropped at one or the other rested, but would you be surprised if Mane plays all four, Salah? But of course you wouldn't. And they've been rotated, or we've had rotation for this reason. Yeah. Trent has been playing half the games, give or take, and Gomez has played half the games. You might just say, listen, Trent, it's a big, massive 2 weeks out here. Is give me all you've got, and then you can have a rest, Bournemouth.
Yeah.
No issue with that. My issue would be, he's going to have a big target on his back. He's going to be the player, and because he's seen United do it, they're going to go at him. They're probably going to think, listen, we're not going to get much joy out of Robertson. He's playing well. Van Dijk plays over on that side. Let's go. Let's attack down that left-hand side. Get Sané involved. Maybe push De Bruyne a little bit over there, Silva, get Aguero floating around Lovren or Matip. That's how you do it. So he's, and what I would say is that, again, it gives you time to prepare. You've got time to work it out. It's just not ideal. You'd want Gomez in at least two of these games, and you just haven't got him.
It makes you wonder as well whether it would have to inform your midfield decisions as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to see Milner now,
You've got to see a Milner, I think. Or
Wijnaldum,
definitely. I think that would write Oxlade-Chamberlain out of a game, particularly the Etihad game. Completely agree with that. So, no, it is a very, very interesting one. I think the Klein one's... I think careers can be made and broken for both of these players, to be fair. Like, this is a massive opportunity for Trent to be like, well, no, look, here's the proof. Look where show everyone how far you've come. Show everyone who thinks you're going to be, because you say, look, they're going to be on your back, mate. Take that as a compliment, weirdly, you know, because you're in this team. People think you're the weak link. I don't think you're the weak link. I'm choosing you to go in this game. You walk in 10 foot tall and then you go and hopefully prove the manager right. But equally, you know, Nathaniel Klein.
I don't think it's phased Klein going in.
No.
You know, he's been there, done. He's seen it all. You You know, he's played international footy, he's played hundreds of Premier League games or whatever. So he'll be fine with it. It's just, it's if his body holds up, how fit is he?
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do when you're knackered after 80 minutes on your first game back is be chasing Leroy Sané to the corner flag.
And who knows as well, you could be in a situation where it could be an extra time looming.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, it's mad when you think about the amount of variables that the managers have got to consider for
this. And as we record, there's international games still to be played, yeah. So there's fitness issues. There's tons that can happen between now and then. It just shows, like, you know, the best laid plans. Well, Klopp would have had his teams in pencil for all four games, and it's changed. It's changed due to something they had no control over.
Yeah.
You know, a lad getting a knock in an England game, which it kind of happens, you know. We've lost loads of lads for internationals. It's a ball league, and that's why everyone hates these international friendlies. They come at a terrible time.
Yeah.
Absolute awful. I get, you know, preparation for World Cup, but it's a bad timing for them to be played. Needless. You know, what have England got out of playing? I don't understand what you've got from it.
Yeah.
You'd be better playing
100 less fans legally allowed to walk the streets
other than ruining Amsterdam, you know, for everyone.
A few bikes.
I just think you could, if anyone had any sense, you'd play league games this week and end the season a week earlier for the England, for the managers to get their players
That's
earlier. But it is what it is, isn't it? I think we're going to go Trent.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind that. Absolutely, I'm really excited to see Nathaniel Klein back. You know, just at a very base level, we've forgotten all about him. We've forgotten how good he is, and I think it's because you give a lot more credit to the younger lads, don't you? Because the young lads, and we've been impressed with them, and we want to see Gomez play because we want to see him develop. And there's nothing wrong about having a local lad in there in Trent. We all love him for that, of course. But Nathaniel Klein, it's one of those things where with the best compliment anyone gives Nathaniel Klein is he's missed a 7 out of 10. And it's probably are people who are like, 7 out of 10? Well, what does that mean? No, if you get 7 out of 10...
From your right back, you sound.
Top
Listen, mate, as good as Trent and Gomez have been at times, they've also cost us a lot of goals and a lot of points, both of them, in terms of making bad mistakes. Klein's a bit more reliable. It's just, it all... If Klein was match fit, I'd just play him.
Yeah.
But he just isn't going to be, and that's the issue we've got.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see I guess we'll know by Monday. I think we'll have a clear idea because I actually don't know if the under-23s are playing, but it's whether he gets a behind-closed-doors game between now and then. If he's not on the bench against Palace, because there's a good opportunity, as you say, there's a good opportunity. We have been known to make full-back substitutions in these games. We always have one for the league, don't we? Also one option, at least. I'd be amazed if he wasn't on the bench, and I think if he's not on the bench, it kind of tells you that
he's not close.
Exactly. So it's a very interesting one. Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Tweet in at the Redmen TV. What your thoughts on if or when Nathaniel Klein should play in these games? Before we move on, we're going to be talking about the impending Roy Hodgson at the weekend. But Chris sat down with our good friend Simon Hughes, a freelance journalist and outstanding author, to talk all things Liverpool Football Club. Here's a little clip.
I've seen quite a big change in Klopp over the last... Since, I suppose, that when he went to down to Marbella after the Porto game. Just in the way that he's talking, you know, he's putting a lot more pressure on the players than he ever has done, you know, since he's been at Liverpool. I think the first two seasons, he's done his best to kind of take the pressure a little bit off the players. And it's just in the messages, it's quite interesting really, because it's not the messages he gives in press conference, but the messages he gives, you know, when the cameras are switched off and to the waiting and listening written media. Seems like he's trying to send messages to his players, like, you know, I'm watching you. You know, you can't just afford to think now that we're in this position, you can ease off. Like, he's clear to me that he's doing that, so he must believe in the players are capable of delivering.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Chris is doing some brilliant things on those Thursday podcasts at the moment. He's left it to me sorted this week. I've got no idea who I'm going to be talking to.
It's going to be me, isn't it? You're going to
might end up being Steve again. We'll see with that. But yeah, no, Chris has done a whole series of these, talking to Liverpool journalists and writers about, you know, things ranging from transfers to tactics to stats to general Liverpool culture. Highly, highly recommend that you go on there, get onto the redmentv.com and listen to the full Si Hughes podcast. Anyway, Steve, yes, kind of segueing this way neatly with the talk about who will play it right back. It's Roy Hodgson at the weekend. I have a big thing this season about how similar this feels to 2013-14 in so many respects. And to some extent, I think there's parallels to 08-09, just in terms of the, at the base level, in terms of the points return, you know, the points per game return, how good a season in general we're having, the style of football that we're playing. But there's so much, I think, as we go into the running, I think there's some real demons of that season that we can exercise from the club a little bit to some extent. You know, we've got the Man City thing with the coach greetings potentially coming up. We've got, you know, Crystal Palace again in an important game when another 3 points dropped is all of a sudden the doors wide open for Chelsea to get back into the top four positions.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And, you know, obviously we've then got Chelsea later on in the season, etc., etc. I think there's a real chance here for us to just allay a few fears, put a few demons to bed. And to be fair, like, look, Brereton's doing a good job for Crystal Palace, but fuck him and fuck Crystal Palace.
It's weird because he started, he done all right when he started, but it's gone really wrong for them recently. They're not playing well at all, they're losing.
Battered Man United.
Or they're playing, when they're playing well, they're not winning. So, you know, the Hammer United and lose to a last minute goal. They've done well against Tottenham and lose to a last minute goal. Yeah. They're struggling for their own goals at times. Obviously, they've had injury worries. Zaha's a question mark again. They're a team that have caused those issues in the past. You know, we owe them from the end of last season when they beat us at home, and obviously the away game, obviously we won that, but it wasn't easy. You know, a few mistakes and they capitalised on them. Historically, like, we know that we've had fame. I've been there and watched us get beat 3-0 or 3-1.
Yeah.
We've got Ricky Lambert on his own up front. Fun times. But we've lived it all with Palace, and I just think I usually don't like Sunday kickoffs, Saturday early kickoffs, and Liverpool's record on them isn't fantastic under Klopp, especially.
Yeah.
You know, he calls them the Brecky games or whatever, but I don't mind Palace on it. If you're going to go there, it isn't an easy place to go. It can be hostile. I've been myself. It is very, very noisy to get behind their team. Maybe Saturday morning isn't the worst time to play them. Having said that, they are desperate for points. Yeah. They are very much in this relegation fight with a lot of other teams, and they'll be eyeing this as a, we can get at least one, maybe even
three.
They
will be looking at the Swansea game, the game that we lost, the Liverpool-Swansea game, and I think they'll be doing, I said ahead of that game, that was a proper free hit for them.
Yep.
Like how they're not expected to take any points from it, so you play with total freedom. Pardew, you kind of said it about the FA Cup game with us in West Brom as well, didn't he? How, you know, no, it doesn't matter. You'd expect, you don't write, when you're doing your predictions of where you're going to get your points to survive, you don't think 3 points against Liverpool. You don't bank on that because it's a fool's errand to some extent. But maybe I think there's a touch of that, and you could see with the way that Palace played against Man United a couple of weeks ago that they played like that. They just played with the handbrake off, went at them, caused Man United loads and loads of problems. Like Benteke's, he's been, look, I'm so fearful saying the words out loud, but he's been shit for Crystal Palace
this season. Yeah,
but he's,
his record against us is good.
His record against us is really good, and he will, easy. He's always going to be the type of player that's going to cause problems because he's massive and he's powerful and he's good in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. He's been awful this year for them. He's been absolutely terrible. But there are certain players who just have a good record against us for whatever reason. He's one of them.
Yeah.
The only time he didn't score much was for us. But honestly, he scored goals against us for Villa.
If he gets a fucking one-on-one chance, Steve,
he'll score, won't he?
And he fucking scores it, I will be fucking so angry. It'll be ridiculous because the amount of gilt edge opportunities that he pissed away in a Liverpool shirt was ridiculous. Like, just was it against Leicester as the commentary? And it's like, and it's Benteke, and he's doing it. Must be oh no, fuck you, Christian Benteke. You just bad meth.
He
scores nothing but goals against us and missed them for us.
That's exactly what he does. And they've got some decent players, no brilliant players, but what I would say, to be fair to them, they've not threw the towel in. Like, West Brom threw the towel in, they're done. At least these are a play for Hodgson, you know what I mean? They are battling hard. They just lack a bit of quality. They've been massively injured as well, but what I would say is that they're going to play two up front.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So that's one less, in theory, you know, someone to bog it all down with, because they don't do that. They're not a team who will go 4-5-1 or 3 at whatever. They'll definitely have their two up front, which might help us. And listen, at the end of the day, we're better than them. And I keep saying this all the time. Every time we play one of these teams, if Liverpool hit 7 out of 10 levels, they'll win.
Yeah.
It's if you end up falling yourselves down to 5s and 6s that you're in trouble. You can't afford it, even against the absolute crap teams in the league.
You need
to bet your level.
These are the games, exactly. If you start slow and you let them get in your heads and you do whatever, again, we just need a full season of it, really, to think to get rid of our fears. I guess the deep-seated, deep-lying fears we've built that have built up over years of us fucking these games up.
Yeah, and at least on the road, we're actually better against, I think, other than Swansea, off the top of my head, we've done well in these, you know, these type of games. We've gone to other teams like near the bottom of the league. If you look who's down there now, and we pretty much snotted them all. So we went to Brighton and battered them, went to Huddersfield and battered them. You know, Newcastle was iffy, and it was a dodgy goal that they scored. But I thought we didn't play well,
yeah,
but we should have won that game.
The points that we've dropped in those away games have often come from
us.
Mad moments in the box, exactly. Mad deflections.
That's what I'm saying. If we play to 7 out of 10, they're not gonna get anything out of us.
I did the Watford game the other week, albeit obviously a home game and in mad weather conditions. I thought was the real encouragement for that, because that had the potential to be one of those games. We've seen it before. You know, Watford have caused those problems, even though we've also smashed them at times as well. But it's that one where you start strong and you start brightly, and you get a goal up, or you get a couple of goals up, and they go, okay, well, you can't help but have your attention turn elsewhere. Now, equally though, on the flip side, the same is probably kind of true with us, is that they will be going into this game going, these have got one eye on Man City in the Champions League, go into them, kick them, smash them, make them think, oh God, I don't want to be involved in that 50-50 tackle because I can't afford to miss Manchester City. And maybe they go a little bit harder on a Mo Salah. You know, Hodgson will try everything in his powers to gain every little bit of, every glimmer of something from it. The thing they've got going for them, I think, is the pace that they've got. Now, obviously, Zaha, if he's out, that's still a big loss for them. But just the Andros Townsend, they've found an effective way of playing, haven't they?
Yeah, full backs as well. They've got the young kid playing on one side, and then they've got Van Arnold on the other, who's lightning fast. And then, like I say, they have Townsend, and then they have the two big lads up front doing bits and bobs. And then in the midfield, they try and go tough with, like, Milivojevic, whose name I can't say, MacArthur.
Luka.
And then MacArthur or something like that. They just try and solid in the middle and then pace out in wide areas. So that doesn't bother me that much with us, I'll be honest. I think we've got pace in those areas. We've got two very quick full-backs. And obviously, our attack and pace. Listen, if Van Aanholt bombs on, then, you know, all the best. You leave Mo Salah one-on-one against one of your centre-half. So it'll be interesting to see how they manage their game. But their style of play is to come at us.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly mind that. If we can be stronger at the back and organised, like I mentioned before, how good we think Van Dijk is. If we can be solid, we'll get a chance on the counter and we'll score, because we score past everyone. So it's just, again, it's our levels and we will win.
It's got that feel. I remember seeing the Merseyside derby, and it was when I first started to notice about Andy Robertson and how he just loves being in fights with people and loves battles. And if it's Andros Townsend on the right in midfield for them, and he's up against Andy Robertson, I like that. I like the idea of him saying, you know, proven that he's, and he should look, he should prove that he's better than Townsend, because ultimately, if he wants to be a Liverpool fullback, then he has to be. Yeah. Same way, he proves himself better than Bolasie and what have you. So no, it's a really interesting one. I'm nervous. The good omen that I have is that my first ever league away game for Liverpool was at Palace back in 93-94, and I think we won 5-0.
And on the flip side, I've been to Palace like 3 times and never seen us win.
Really?
And I'm not going.
Right.
So good omen.
Yeah, absolutely. hopefully Liverpool can recreate my experience and not any of yours.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, great. Obviously we'll be doing the usual raft of pre- and post-match coverage around that game on the YouTube channel. So if you listen to this on Acast or any of your other iTunes, etc., iPod apps, that's not a thing.
Apple podcast
apps, whatever. Go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRedmenTV or theredmenTV.com for all the stuff building up, as I say, and post-match as well. Questions then, Steve. This is a belter. I really like this one. Matt Froud sent this one in for us. I think this was on the Facebook page. You're making an Expendables-style action-slash-comedy film about a five-a-side footy and casting ex-players in the five lead roles. Which five Liverpool legends would you cast to be in your fictional five-a-side team in order to make it a good movie? I want to hear yours, and then I overthought this, so I'll give you my how I've categorised my five-a-side.
Do you want all five?
Give me your team.
Grob Larsen goal.
Okay, got that.
He's mad.
He's mad.
He's got experience of like killing people, apparently.
It's true.
From his army days, yeah. So,
wow. He,
at least I've got one lad who knows how to use a gun.
Yeah.
Helps. For sure. Sammy Ipia, because I think every action group needs
the Dolph Lundgren of the team. Like,
yeah. Needs an Iceman. I've got four other nutters.
Okay.
So Sammy's the like guy who keeps them cool. Follow my lead and just when they're all doing their mad shit, he's just standing there shaking their head at them.
Have you got Rigobert Song in
your
team?
I have not got Rigobert Song on my team.
Have you got Bjorn Torkavarma in your team?
I forgot he existed, so no.
Okay, so me too, and then he scored an absolute screamer at the cup.
I saw that, yeah, good goal. Javier Mascherano's next.
Ooh,
I think every team needs a little, you know, every action.
You send him into tunnels, don't
every
you?
Action movie needs a little Rottweiler type lies, you know, like Scrappy Doo style. Yeah. Let me at him. So he's in. Suarez is in.
Okay, yeah.
Very aggressive.
Absolutely.
Very aggressive. Again, bit mad. We'll do anything to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I've got Craig Bellamy.
Yes.
So basically, he's the scariest, actually, Bellamy, because he's quite intelligent and cool and calm and collected. And he thinks about going nuts before he goes nuts. I always think of Mascherano and Suarez. They were very hot-headed and very impulsive. Bellamy chose when he was going to swing a golf club. He just didn't lose his head.
Yeah.
He goes to the bag, gets the golf club, and then swings at you.
He's the kind of guy who caves your head in with a golf club and then straightens his tie and brushes himself down.
Very much so, yeah. So, yeah, you could see he'd just be standing there watching all mayhem, and he'll just get himself involved. Chop a few heads off, and then away we go. So
sad.
I think I've got a good team there.
I haven't got the names yet. I need your help with this.
Okay.
I broke it down by the way that the Expendables team's kind of constructed, and I think you can only have one genuine A-lister, maybe two at a pinch. It depends whether you're talking about Expendables 1, 2, or 3. And bear in mind that I've only seen Expendables 1, and I described it as a movie. If that movie was a person, it would be the kind of person who goes for the poo, and when they get off the toilet, they've somehow got shit in their own mouth. That's how I would describe that film, the level of intelligence that is behind that film. But I digress. So I think you've got to have someone in the Sylvester Stallone role. So in this instance, I think you're looking from a short list of, it's Gerard, really. I think Gerard's going to be your
A-lister.
Yeah, exactly. He's your main A-lister. I mean, Suarez is a good shout as well. A much better shout. I'll be honest, I feel like your team's going to win regardless. Then you're looking at like, okay, well, let's do two A-listers. So we'll say Gerrard and Suarez, because I like the Suarez shout. And then one, two B-listers and one C-lister, because you end up with Randy Couture in those films. And who, really?
He's good at fighting.
Well, I know, but as far as an actor goes...
Yeah, I mean, acting isn't the main skill in that movie.
Exactly. The point of the Expendables is to put as many famous action stars in there as possible. Now, let's say B-listers. So you're talking like, who's your Statham? and who's your, well, you need let's say, Jet Li?
You need a goalie first. So you, and your options are limited. I think you need, you're going to be looking at
Pepe's probably an A-list.
Pepe Reina's up there.
Is he the Statham now? He's got the Statham look.
Let's put Pepe in.
Okay, Pepe Reina.
And also, you can imagine him losing his cool. Yeah. And also, there's always a bit of comedy in that movie, and he's quite a funny guy, isn't he? So Pepe, Gerrard, Suarez, you need a bit of a Carmel influence.
Okay.
And you need a big man.
But I think I need someone who's I need pacey and lethal. Me Jet Li, for example.
So you're looking for someone with a bit shorter on the fast side from times gone by.
We'll revisit that. C-list, I can't get Eric Meyer out of my head.
Okay, he could be your Iceman.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he's just a big lumbering dolt who probably carries like a minigun, you know, a big rail gun or something like that at the back.
Okay, and he's mad as well. By absolutely. So yeah, he's in. So now we're after a little quick fella. See, that's where I use Bellamy in this role, and I had a bit of Mascherano as well.
I think Bellamy's possibly a decent shout for that. Okay.
What about Mark Gonzalez?
See, Mark Gonzalez, I had it. I was going, what the hell is his name? What is his name?
Because he ran dead fast.
But he
and you could kill him off first.
But he's not a B-lister. I would have to put him, make him my C-lister, and then I'd have to get rid of Eric Meyer, and I'd have to put someone like, you know what? No. Fuck it. My team's just going to be dead slow. You know why? Because I want Sotiris Kyriakos in there as well.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he should be in the Expendables.
Yeah.
He looks like a mad action 80s action hero. I genuinely don't care if that's the best team or not. I think I just
he's got a bit of Steven Seagal about him. just a little bit of Steven Seagal about
him. He's got a bit of, like, he would be Zlatan Ibrahimovic's stunt double.
he looks like he could knock anyone out, but he's also like dead. They're like, who the fucking hell are you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's in. Okay, I think we've nailed it. I think at football your team wins. I think at fighting my team
loses.
Possibly wins. Size, I just want size.
You've gone for size.
Yeah.
I've gone for action.
Okay, cool. I can deal with that. Right. Rupert asks, who should Liverpool target this summer if they want a challenge for the title next season? Let's not get bogged down too much in names at the minute.
Okay.
Let's work on this. Like, I'm gonna take this question, I'm gonna fundamentally change it.
Yep.
You can only go big on two positions.
Yep.
What are the two positions that you go big on?
Forward, we need one more. We've got three, we need four. So, again, the Vane has still got rubbish, but maybe someone along those lines. I go big on him. If it's only two, I really want a goalie, but I'm thinking we need another number six if Emery Chan goes. That's an absolute necessity. You might be able to get away with Karius and Ward for whatever. So I would say someone who can play number six and then a forward in your scenario. So
yeah.
The perfect world, you'd go Timo Werner, Jorginho would be ideal.
Yeah.
And then you fill your other bits in around that.
I can't disagree. I think the forward thing I absolutely agree with. Realistically, look, we're going to do shows and shows and shows of this on the website in the coming weeks and months, of course.
It's kind of my job.
Yeah, it's true. I think we need... A lot of this depends on how the manager rates a few of the guys who are on the fringes. So, for example, I think, looking at our squad, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, the fact that we're rotating Matip and Lovren tells me that we need someone who can do what they do combined, i.e. another Virgil van Dijk, maybe. Or do you just say, Joe Gomez, you're our centre-half, mate. You're our first-choice partner for Virgil van Dijk. And in that case, Matip and Lovren are fine to keep around the squad. I would still feel greatly comforted by binning off one or both of those lads, as much as I like them both in their own ways, and going and spending another 40, 50 million pounds on another brilliant centre-half.
Could be Oliver Yanov, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a great shot. I wouldn't have had an idea on names and that, because it's just so hard to judge, isn't it? I think, you know, for every Virgil van Dijk, you spend a big relative money and you get a Dejan Lovren, or you get a Matip, or you get a...
Lindelof at United,
or a Lindelof or whatever. So I think it's tough. I don't know who that player would be, but I would be loads more encouraged by us just going and fixing that problem. With
suppose that, and if you do that way, you might get away with the goalie again. You might be able to get away with having.
And that's it. And I think the goalkeeper, I just don't think. And again, I'll know more come the end of the season. because if Karius is an absolute stinker, you know, Mignolet's not the answer. And if Karius proves himself not to be the answer, then you've got no choice but to go big on the goalkeeper. But anyway, I'm basing this on what I think is that on the first 11 at the moment, I think there is a... No one has nailed down that partner role for Van Dijk, so I think we definitely need that. Yeah. And I 100% agree that we haven't... At the minute, look at what we did against Porto. We rested... Salah, did we rest for that game? Or man,
at home, Salah.
Yeah, and we put Lallana on the wing.
Yeah.
And at the minute, it's our backup choices are Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain, or at a push, Wijnaldum, to play in them. I don't like that. You know, I think you need to have someone who can play wide. I think you need some. I think I agree with the forward thing to some extent. Again,
but I was thinking more central. You're thinking wide.
I'm thinking if you can do a bit of both, fine. Yeah. But you need someone else with stupid pace.
Sessegnon.
Maybe a session, you know, or something like that. But someone else, you're a young lad between the ages of 17 and 21 who's got pace to burn, a bit of a rough diamond, who can learn from Mane, Salah, and Firmino. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're lucky in this regard that in this the world of this question, we're already getting Keita. So it's a bit of a free,
hit
in that regard. Yeah. And I think, you know, I agree. Look, five players. A backup to Firmino, a backup to Salah, Mane, a proper beefy six like an Nzonzi or a Decore or a whomever, a centre half and a goalkeeper. You're as good as Man City, I think. If you get top quality in all those positions, whether we'll get that, who knows?
Yep.
Listen, thanks very much for watching. Are we on that camera?
Yep.
Thanks very much for liking the video, which you're doing right now. Yeah. For subscribing, and also thank you very much to everyone who's listening again on all the podcast apps. I said it right this time, just about. If you want more from us, more podcast, more video coverage of everything around Liverpool Football Club, go to theredmentv.com. We do so much stuff on there. You're talking 20 exclusive podcasts every single month, and in the region of 12 exclusive video shows, or half an hour to 45 minutes to an hour, covering everything in depth and detail, from the fun stuff to the deep dives on stats and tactics. So yeah, if you want more, and if you love the Redmen TV, and if you love Redmen Radio, it makes a big difference if you go and subscribe. Steve, you've got the Resnies Roundup coming this week. Everyone can get involved on that show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking about all the lads we think we might sign in, the summer, who we've been linked to. So Werner is going to be mentioned, Jorginho. There's been a bit of Lanzini mentioned in there. A bit of hot Lanzini action for you. Yeah. That's like showing a little bit of thigh for you, isn't it? Get behind the paywall and I'll show you it all.
If that's not encouraging enough, I don't know what is. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.